That is a sound I was not expecting to play for this woman for another 10 years. But we will discuss that further, along with some happier news, here at the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and a quick look around the table. Let's start with, as of recording time, our birthday boy, Ethan Muslin.
Remind me never to have a double super-duper party pony birthday party again.
But Cheese Sandwich wants to come in.
That was the problem. I had both the hurt him and Pinkie Pie.
Oh, I'm sorry. I probably hurt.
I am sore all over. Too much fun.
I was going to say, that must be the racket I heard earlier. If it wasn't that, it might be our chair swinging expert over here, Mr. Brian Henniger.
You know, last week, Mae Young hit the Grim Reaper with a folding chair. And I'm guessing that before he called her home, he got a pretty good beatdown from her, because she's the toughest woman I ever saw.
And our proper fourth this week, fourth.
She was one of the few women that would wear the phrase tough old broad like a badge of honor.
And Brian's pretty much spot on, and I had joked with somebody about this earlier in the week. The fact that the Grim Reaper had chased Mae Young for the past week because they'd taken her off life support, she still didn't want to go. So when the Grim Reaper comes a-knocking, she looks at him and she says, "I'm not ready to go yet, but it is your time." "I said I'm not ready to go yet." So he comes back the next day. "Mae, it is time to go." "Go away! Don't make me hurt you." "I said it's time to go." "Get away from me, you ugly old..."
And then he said to him, "I'll take both you sluts on."
And it went on like this, and then Death realized that he can't fight her, so he finally said, "Mae, Moolah's been asking after you." "Oh! Yeah! Okay, let me get my things together." 90 years young. May I be half that tough and make it to that age? Fourth, amen. your thoughts on definitely the toughest broad in the wrestling business.
One of my favorite things I remember hearing was Hardcore Holly, I guess, he was doing a match with her, and he basically brought up how he did a clothesline a particular way and how he was going to go easy on her. And she basically threatened to beat him up if he did not go the full force that he usually does. I always remember that.
And that's up there with, you know, I've seen a few people have resurrected clips such as the two instances that Bubba Ray put Mae through a table, either that or one of them was Moolah. The fact that Mae and Moolah took a 3-minute warning, and, oh, just a few other things. Brian, I'm sure you've got a good Mae Young story for me.
I've got a couple. My favorite is on the story of the legend. They did the Legends of Wrestling roundtable. Pat Patterson tells a great story. Do you remember the incident where Mae Young gave X-Pac the Bronco Buster?
Yeah, I've heard about this. I know about the one that she gave Eric Bischoff.
Yeah, Eric Bischoff is the one. Before she went out to do it, she and Moolah were in their dressing room. The story goes they were stuffing sardines into the crotch of their outfits. So when they did it, it would smell like high heaven.
Eric Bischoff deserves much worse. Oh,
sorry. But you know, the thing is, fourth is spot on. She's the only woman in this world who would take tough old broad and it'd be a compliment. But you know, someone brought up a good point. She's the only person I know to be active in the ring for, like, I think over 8 different decades.
She actually made it through 9.
She made it through 9, and there will never be another woman like her in all of wrestling. There's not going to be another Mae Young.
Mm-mm.
At least as long as I'm alive.
But like I said, I hope I'm half that tough when I reach that age. For those who would really want to take a peek into some of Mae Young's history, look up Lipstick and Dynamite. Something that I might put on my playlist this weekend, where you could see a lot about the history of women's wrestling. So, Ethan, what did you think of this tough old broad?
When I first was introduced to Moolah and Mae Young, it was during the Attitude Era, of course, because I was, you know, mm-hmm. they were a little before my time, to say the least. At first, I thought it was nice that they were actually bringing out some of these old timers to pay homage to the times before in the WWF, then WWF.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just kept going with it, and I was pleasantly surprised with how it turned out. I mean, some things, you know, didn't turn out so well as others, but we all know where we're going with that.
Yeah. Oh, come on, the hand has a very good office job now.
But the fact that she kept going into her 70s, into her 80s, and almost into her 90s.
Well, she was 90, and she promised us
that she was going to wrestle at 100.
Yeah. She owes us a match.
I was really, you know, part of me was actually rooting for that.
I was willing to root for that, because that would have been amazing.
Yeah.
That would have been absolutely amazing.
Jerry Lawler. May I interrupt you, but Jerry Lawler used to say that if she made it to 100 and wrestled, he wanted to be there to do commentary.
And he almost didn't make that either.
Yeah, amen.
TNA even paid their respects. Bubba Ray had to pay respects. After all, he was willing to put her through a table. And he wrote May on his wrist tape. After all, I think he was the one who got berated about the table spot. You're going to put me through. I want to go through. There's a beautiful video package that they did manage to slap together for SmackDown, and it's probably been running on WWE.com the last couple of days. They'll probably air it again on Monday.
Uh-huh. And I think Stephanie McMahon did part of the narration. I mean, from what I can gather, she and May were really close.
Judging from the narration, Stephanie had trouble getting through it. That's how much this meant to her. So, you know, trust me, this is a huge loss to the wrestling industry. You know, yes, she was to some fans, she's just a goofy old woman who wrestled back in the 40s. The entire women's wrestling industry owes her big time. I'm not sure what I would be able to do, but to her, I will say thank you. And hopefully she and Moolah are sharing a beer and a cigar and laughing at the rest of us before they go kick Dave Relevant hell out of Luna Vachon. So, rest in peace, Mae Young. We know you didn't want to go. But let me go on to some happier news.
Mm-hmm.
Where shall I go? The Hall of Fame? A cage? The bosses.
Both of those first two are huge.
True. As is tradition, the first Hall of Fame inductee was announced this week. And the blow was softened a little bit, though, by him already having his deal with 2K. The Ultimate Warrior will be our first Hall of Famer. Ethan, I think this would have had a little bit more impact if he wasn't included in 2K14.
It was still a bit of a shock to me hearing that he was going into the Hall of Fame. I thought I thought that he was just doing the thing for 2K and nothing more, but the fact that he managed to mend his ties with the Fed, I guess time really does heal all wounds, doesn't it?
If not time, money.
That's probably it, too.
So, Brian...
cannot wait for that induction speech.
Which will lead to the next question. Who inducts him?
Well,
I have an idea.
I have an idea, too, but I don't think he'll approve it.
I admit it! I'm an asshole!
No, I'm thinking it's someone who's kind of been back... Another old-timer who's recently been backstage in the Fed recently.
Who dat?
Hogan!
I don't want him out there. Anyway, okay. But probably the most appropriate would be Hogan.
The logic behind him being Hogan is because they had that great match at Six.
No, that's fine. I just giggle at the fact that this would be Hunter's perfect opportunity to go out there and do something really, really mean over Warrior no selling the pedigree.
Yeah, I don't think he's ever forgiven him for that.
No, but I think Hunter got a much better deal.
I will say this, not to interrupt you, but
go ahead.
He put on his Twitter, the Warrior did, said, "First time in my WWE career, everyone is in total absolute agreement. You do not want to miss the Ultimate Warrior's Hall of Fame speech." I agree.
I just hope it's going to be reasonably coherent. Or do you want it to be rambling and bizarre words? And
well, first of all, I want him to wear the face paint.
Well, you know that's going to happen.
He has to have the face paint, and he has to wear a suit with the sleeves ripped off so he can have the tassels.
And I saw him recently. He's actually still in reasonably good shape.
So, yeah, and so for that, after Hogan introduces him, he has to step away quickly from the podium because I want Warrior to run.
I definitely want it to be normal when he's accepting, and then at the end, just let him go full Warrior and cut the biggest promo we can.
Oh, yeah. I just, just go completely batshit on everybody because... This is one of those, if you told me 5 years ago this was going to happen, I would have told you you were crazy. And, having him going in, again, time and money heals all wounds, but yeah. So.
I mean, because, WWE burned their bridges with him, and he burned their bridges with WWE because of the fact that he held the company up for money. I think, I want to say he held them up twice. And just the way that he acted in the 90s, I mean, I'm sure that, in a lot of ways he's matured, but it's still a shocker to me. I'm still like, okay, well, who else are they going to get to top this? I mean, no one's going to top the Warrior this year, but who else are they going to get?
There's only one thing that could top Warrior.
What's that?
Savage.
I don't know. They've got one big headliner already. They cannot do a second.
That's true. I don't think they are.
That's true. They might go ahead and put Jake in if he's truly cleaned up. Sting, I see that speculation in the chat room. He is no longer employed with TNA, so let the speculation begin.
Oy vey.
if there's already that yearly Sting and talks with WWE rumor going on.
Oh yeah, it's already out there. But Sting is not under contract with TNA, so what else would he do? Short of go home and go back to church. And I don't mean that mean-spiritedly.
No, I mean, but they are going to offer him a... They're going to offer him a great big bucket full of money, to quote the late, great Kate Smith, to get him. Because you know that they want to get him to get the match every internet every internet fanboy wants, which is Sting Undertaker. Which they probably couldn't get this year.
No. I think there's already something in the works, but even then, there's a little bit of trepidation when they start talking, when there was some talk about it. One of the threads that I read, there was the comment, would we still get this match even though it's 10 or 15 years too late?
I'm honestly not sure if we will see it, because it's still early as to whether or not Sting is going to renew. So we'll definitely have to see, at least in the coming weeks with his employment with TNA, whether or not we could anticipate this match, even if it is, as many have said, a little too late to really be a great match.
But if it happens, awesome. You know, I'm not, and I won't speculate any further, because I, honest to God, don't know. Although, speaking of the internet broke out in celebration at the end of Raw this week.
And Providence, Rhode Island needed a new roof for their arena.
Yeah, but to a point, I think I deserve this.
I don't mean to toot my own horn, but I called it! Woo!
I mentioned on the show a couple of weeks ago, geez, Forth.
That was on me this time.
Dude, I keep telling you, wait till the midpoint to finish up the sandpapering.
So, no, I mentioned when this first happened, when Brian surrendered to the Wyatts. I made the comment on the show, I surrender, suckers. This gave him the perfect opportunity, as he did follow along with the Wyatts for a little bit, and somehow it finagled into him and Wyatt versus the Usos in a cage. And Kane, being the lovely corporate monster that he is, put a big-ass lock and chain on the door. What followed was, you know, pretty much a lot of stuff we expected. But the Usos won. Brian once again kneels before Bray. Bray tenderly picks him up to give him the blessings of Sister Abigail. But wait! We have a change of heart? Or, Ethan, was this the gotcha?
The way it kind of looked to me was, this was the plan all along. Get Bray Wyatt by himself in a secluded location, specifically in this steel cage where Rowan and Harper, or as I like to call them, Rowan and Martin, cannot get in and interfere.
Well, wait, if they're Rowan and Martin, who's Goldie Hawn?
Summer
you
Rae.
Don't want to know.
Needless to say, this, Ethan's right. There was nothing left of the building when the crowd realized what was going on.
Yes! Oh, you could hear the building.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Sorry, my soundboard wouldn't stop because it was just as excited.
It was.
But yeah, the roof came.
The crowd started. You saw the murmuring coming up as soon as Brian was looking at everybody, and everyone starting to chant, yes, 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 yes. And then when it happened, oh my God.
Not bad
that
for a
B. Just when everything exploded.
Not bad for a B plus player, huh?
Yeah. Having been
Go ahead, Forrest.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, having actually been at that show, I can tell you that the way the camera looked with everyone chanting yes, yes, yes on that side, it was exactly that way on the other side.
Oh, you were actually there?
Yeah. And I knew something was going to happen involving a cage because they put a curtain over because they had this giant, almost a jumbotron above the ring.
Right.
So they put a curtain in an attempt to block the cage to make it a surprise.
That never works.
Yeah.
Some shows some shows it still shows up in the wides. But I think they've gotten better about it. Wow, if I serendipitous, I did not realize you had gone to that Raw.
Yeah.
So did the roof come off and are you okay?
Well, a small piece hit me in the head, but other than that, I'm fine.
My worry is that a small piece might have hit Brian in the head. Mr. Chair Swinger, there's talk that Mr. Brian, that Daniel Bryan might have a concussion.
Yeah, the report was that he, after the whole match was over, he couldn't remember a lot of what happened. Initially, it was reported by a couple of different websites, but WWE has not yet commented officially. The one official has confirmed, excuse me, to a wrestling website that he did suffer a concussion, and he has gone in for an impact test. So we don't know exactly the extent. You know, hopefully it's not serious, and he's able to compete at the Royal Rumble. But the fear is it may be serious, and he may have to take some time off, which would totally kill the heat he has right now.
Yeah. Especially with what I'm expecting, and I know we're not doing pick-ems yet, but I have a feeling Brian might be shouting yes, yes, yes at the end of the pay-per-view.
It's one of these situations that, you know, I hope he's okay, and you're right, he's got so much momentum right now, it's just insane. I was okay with the fact that he did not show up for SmackDown, where Bray Wyatt went even further off his rocker about Bryan. Beautiful promo. Beautiful scare the shit out of people promo. To say that he's going to be even more of a monster. Brian, that has some weight.
It does, considering how insane Bray Wyatt is. I mean, he has been one of the best-built characters WWE has had in quite some time. And he lives that gimmick. So, your thought is, if he was insane before, what's he going to be like now?
Seriously. You know, what more could he do? You know, how much worse can he go? It just, you know, it is a bit, it's chilling. And I'm actually liking that. So, you know, eyes and ears open. That storyline at least has my attention. The WWE World Heavyweight title rematch means almost nothing to me. Fourth, what was the crowd like when Orton lost what was left of his mind and beat up Cena's dad?
And I could see a few people almost kind of laughing about it, because I think that at this point, a lot of fans pretty much know that whenever John Cena's father's in attendance, chances are he's going to get beaten up sooner or later.
And this has been blown out of, they've, you know, listed a whole bunch of wonderful injuries to the man so that he doesn't have to show up on TV down the line. So yes, Cena Senior's injuries brought to you by
WORK Work Radio.
It's a work.
Something to try to make us, you know, make us hate Randy Orton even more and cheer even harder for John Cena. Not working.
Now the internet hates him.
It doesn't do anything for me, but we've seen this so many times already, you know. Then again, I'm watching the Rumble for the Rumble and not for the title match.
Neither am I. I always watch for the Rumble event, the actual Rumble match.
Yeah, and the Rumble is building up beautifully. We know that Big Dave's involved, that Del Rio's involved, the Rhodes Brothers are in it, Kofi's in it, the Shield's in it, and Vicky being very specific by coming out at the beginning of the show and mentioning it's every man for himself. So without actually throwing anybody in the ring against each other, we already have the seeds of discord sown. Take that any way you wish, Ethan.
Oh, I plan to.
So, and most years, I am really excited about this. I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to Dave on Monday. So,
if no one bring any basketballs, please.
That's what would kill me is if he came out to the ring and Ring of Honor style, he would get showered with basketballs instead of ribbon. Instead of streamers, we see a whole bunch of basketballs go flying into the ring. And duct tape. Yeah. And lots of duct tape.
Are you serious?
Stoop that low. Mm-mm-mm. I would pay a lot of money for this WWE. Make it happen. Somehow. I wouldn't know how to get it out there, but if I was going to that show, yeah. I'd love to smuggle in some duct tape.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I please have your attention? We have just received a message from the anonymous NAWC general manager on my Atari ABAC ATW Transputer 800.
Good Lord, I didn't even think that thing could connect to the internet. I've worked on a 400. Let's have a look at this sucker.
Sweet Jesus.
Well. At least that one had a real keyboard. The 400 had a membrane keyboard. That sucked.
Oh, a Chiclet keyboard.
Yeah.
That is cheaping out, my friend.
The only thing entertaining about an Atari 400 was when you played Star Raiders, if you hit a key that had nothing to do with the game, it would say, "What's wrong?"
you cannot get ye flask.
So, the GM, what does he have to say? I'm not playing that soundbite. In fact, I'm not even going to put it on the soundboard. The first thing on here is a link to Ryback's intro.
No.
Underneath it, it says, "Random Ryback is random and slowly losing his mind."
I think the response to Jerry Lawler on Monday kind of proves that.
Yeah. Let's see. What else has he got in here? Because I'm not going to play that. Yes, you have to talk TNA. Yes, you have to talk New Age Outlaws. Well, yeah, I got to talk some serious authority stuff regarding Punk. I bring up TNA because you have breaking news to talk about. But you're only halfway through the show. That's fair. Gentlemen, we're going to take a short time out. Restrooms are unlocked. Vending machines are plugged in. They have been moved, but don't worry, they're still working. We'll be back in a few minutes with more news. Gentlemen, I have some breaking news. We have somebody out there who is trying to take up the cause for TNA. Mr. Williams, what do you have?
Yes, I have... this comes from one of the fan boards, the Freaking Awesome Network board. And I have exclusive audio. This is exclusive to the NAWC. A little bit of the, I guess what we could say, maniacal diatribe of this fan who is trying to purchase a certain wrestling organization. Let's go to that clip right now. Edit point. Gotta psych myself into the mode without breaking down there. Hi, my name's Mark, and I'm very smart. And I'm writing this thread because I've decided to undertake a bold and potentially foolhardy venture. You see, I set up an Indiegogo campaign to buy TNA Wrestling. Yes, that one. I made this decision about a week or so ago, when I realized that things are just not going to change by Dixie's own choice. So I wrote down the plan I've been cultivating for about 6 years. I put it on Indiegogo for a 60-day funding run. I have it linked below. The goal I set is for $5 million. Yes, it's a high price. However, think of it like this. If 200,000 people each contributed $100, then I'd have, $20 million. Even if I only get half of that, that's more than enough to make a good offer. And now, let me turn you over to my financier, who has the latest update on how much we've raised.
Thank you, Mark. From the Indiegogo account, with 49 days left of this writing, the grand total we have raised is $0. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the rantings of a madman.
Now, part of me just wants to end that note with the treasure hunt clunk music.
Good idea for post production. But he went on in this thread about how he wants to put a wrestling product that focuses on the action. He wants to purchase the NWA brand, bring in the big gold belt. We're talking ultimate pipe dream and a half. And here's the kicker. And Brian, I want you to bring this up because let's say he doesn't get to $5 million. I know that may be shocking.
Jim, don't be a dream killer.
I'm not a dream killer. I'm a broadcast journalist.
I was a war chorus. No, I wasn't. Okay.
No,
but
you
go
weren't.
Ahead. Explain
the Cola Wars, maybe.
Let's get to the goal.
Yeah. The goal was $5 million, but if you look at the very fine print of the thing, it's a flexible funding plan. Now, if you don't know what that means, it means that if he doesn't raise the full $5 million, he gets whatever people donate. So you're never seeing that money again if you give it to this son of a bitch.
Translation, there's a sucker born every minute. Luckily, none as of the time of this recording. Will that change?
And as someone on the fan boards posed, if anybody gives this guy a penny, they deserve to get their butt kicked on sheer principle.
Agreed. You know, what we should do, Nikki, we should update this each podcast to see how much money has been donated.
Yes.
Yes.
We should do a running tote.
We shall do that.
To do it.
That'll give us something to do during the Rumble to Mania quarter. Anyway, but yeah, I'm
show George now. I'm sorry.
No. First of all, I'm blown away that somebody actually tried this. I'm happy. There's hope for the human race. That this man has exactly $0 for his trouble. Let's keep it that way, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a goal.
Yeah.
We will make this happen. Continue to not donate to this man.
We may not be able to cure cancer in our lifetimes. We may not be able to cure the various diseases of our lifetime, but damn it, we can make sure this son of a bitch doesn't get a goddamn dime.
There you go.
We can't cure stupid either, but we can certainly discourage it.
Sorry.
And I just love the fact that for $100,000, you get every pay-per-view of the year for free.
Oh, and by the way, one of his plans is to make the pay-per-views only $5 a piece.
Where did he get
check
that
this
idea
out.
From?
Oh, and check this out. He has announced that accountability is key. Therefore, he will only take of the $5 million. He'll only take a yearly salary of $250,000. His intent is to put as much of the profits back into those who work in it, as well as putting it back into the promotion itself. We should be thankful that he's only going to take a quarter of a freaking million bucks.
Wait, a quarter of a million bucks is pretty much the entire revenue stream for the year.
Somebody, you know, in all seriousness, somebody get $30, buy this guy a copy of Total Extreme Warfare 2013, and shut him up!
I think I want to talk about something a little less ludicrous.
Less?
It's still TNA, I realize.
Like I said,
so it's
less.
Only mildly ludicrous by a little teeny tiny bit.
Well, it's only less ludicrous because it is rumor. So I cannot confirm or deny that this is actually going to happen. Now you remember,
I heard a rumor.
As you remember, during some of TNA's free fall late last year, the name that Toby Keith's name got thrown around a little bit for possibly investing in the promotion. Well, with Jeff Jarrett gone, that's obviously out the window. Or is it? So Jeff might have gone to Toby Keith and said, hey, why don't you and me just go ahead and start something up? Well, we haven't gotten it straight from Jarrett, and we still haven't gotten it straight from Toby Keith. Part of this information is coming from Conan, and I'm not saying that the man's lying, Brian, but I need to hear it from the actual money players before I'm going to believe something like this.
Yeah, you want to hear this from the money mark. The rumor is they want to start up their own wrestling promotion and put it on CMT. Which would be a good fit. I'm not going to say it wouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
But it would, I mean, as profitable as WWE is right now, and as profitable as they're going to be next month when this network thing launches, wrestling is still a soft sell right now. And it's going to be hard to get a major media player like CMT, which is owned by Viacom, which is running TNA, to put forth any money for this. I mean, it's a hard sell already, but, you know, Toby Keith has name recognition with the country crowd. It kind of makes sense. It's just, ooh, goodness gracious me.
Well, and it's just, it is curious, and a couple of people are trying to link JR to it, but I believe he has a different, I think he landed a different gig.
Yeah, he is going to be, I'm told he's going to be doing Fox Sports College Football.
Which, oh, wow. I'll take that. I'll certainly take that.
I'd like to hear him do MMA.
Well, there was somebody actually asked Jim Ross on Twitter about this. A meeting with Toby Keith, huh? Maybe him and Jeff Jarrett have an offer you can't refuse? # conspiracy theory. Jim Ross declined comment. Well, that's because he's got that Fox Sports One, the Fox Sports deal. So it's not going to be with Jarrett and Toby Keith if indeed they are doing something. But at least Jarrett is clear of the sinking ship that is TNA, as they are spinning it in their own direction. When they brought the American Wolves, formerly of Ring of Honor, tried out for the Fed, supposedly showing up for a tryout match for TNA, but they said that they're already signed through some mystery investor. Fourth, my brain hurts just thinking about that.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out in my mind who they have as this investor, who they're going to reveal it to be, because they've had not really a great track record of revelations and stuff like that, so I'm not getting my hopes entirely up, but I don't know. I won't entirely say that it's going to be terrible. We'll wait and see.
In before Bellator.
I pray it's not them.
Actually, Ethan, my thought was that this was Pritchard making a play to get his face back on TV.
That could be possible. We haven't seen him in a while.
Because I really think this investor stuff is not going to. It's going to be kind of like the lame attempt a few years ago with Trump buying Raw. I think we're going to have the same scenario, Brian.
Yes, only thankfully in this case, the idiots at the stock market won't actually sell off their WWE stock.
Unfortunate implications and all that. Mainly because, first of all, there's a lot of people that probably wouldn't even care about a secret investor for TNA. And second of all, you know, we've already got this one guy who's trying to buy it through Indiegogo, and nobody's giving him money for that either. Okay, I'll cut that out.
She'll be here all week, friends. Tip the veal, try the waitress.
Very good. So, you know, I'm obviously not going to get my hopes up on this investor thing, because I'm pretty sure it's just a storyline and we're just going to get somebody to show up and do it. Not worried about it. In fact, I'm going to stop thinking about it. I'm going to give a spoiler for Total Divas, but they've already spoiled it on Instagram, so is it really a spoiler?
What's that?
We must send out congratulations to Jimmy Uso and Funkadactyl Naomi. or as it was explained to me, when he said "us," Naomi said "I do."
Daddy.
The wedding was apparently shot in Hawaii and will be part of the Total Divas later episodes. So yes, a second wedding. More reality for a reality show about a reality show.
Dude, that's meta as hell.
One of the scariest cases of Inception in a long time.
That's deep.
No, I'm just seeing Exhibit everywhere.
There's
no dog. No dog. I heard you like reality shows, so we put a reality show about a reality show
in a reality show. I mean, no, don't get me wrong. I'm happy for them. I'm very happy for them, and any kids that they will have, that kid's smile is going to light up a room. So, you know, more power to them. That's still not going to get me to watch Total Divas. Sorry, guys. The only clip I want is the man off from the first season. So, let me get to the other big storyline that is going on in the Fed. As Punk is railing against the machine. How 2011? Yay. How 2011 of him?
So it's Punk against the machine.
In this case, we're revisiting the Summer of Punk, and this time hopefully we won't have a part-time wrestler screwing it all up.
I have a feeling we will, and his name is Dave Bautista.
This will be better than another part-timer named Kevin Nash, who I believe was 90% of the problem of Summer of Punk, but...
And another part-timer named Dwayne.
Don't get me started about Dwayne. As it is, Punk is already banging his head against the wall because he's had his ongoing issues with the Shield, in which he knows works for the Authority, and was... Fourth, I hate to say it, I think he was caught off guard with the New Age Outlaws bailing on him Monday night.
Yeah. It was definitely kind of a surprise because they really built it up quickly that they were friends, only to have it just quickly end that way. It felt a little hasty, but I would say it worked, but
it definitely worked.
The other interesting part of this is corporate Kane's involvement. I'm loving the fact that Punk is pretty much in the middle of the beatings will continue until morale improves, and this is for his own good.
So if I'm hurting you because I love you.
It's so corporate, it scares me. This is what they do in corporate America, ladies and gentlemen. They will beat you over the head with stuff and say they're doing it for your best interests. You have been warned. It just makes it... What makes it infinitely scarier is just the fact that it is Kane. And the fact that Kane had been so good about keeping his emotions in check until SmackDown, where Punk decided to poke the Hellhound one too many times. Brian, do you think Kane will have any repercussions from this?
Probably not, but at the same time, you know, he is one man I would not want to get on my bad side. Even if in the suit and the receding hairline, he looks like a very large Ed O'Neill.
Fourth, since we think it's going to be Punk Triple H at Mania, because I don't think Punk's going to get back into the title picture, though it would be nice. Would Punk Kane be a nice stopgap feud leading up to Punk going another round with the Evil Boss?
I could definitely see it happen because they're building it up as him slowly taking the authority people down one at a time. And I could see this happening with Kane, and I could see him continuing to push the Shield to a breakup. So I definitely am enjoying the prospect of this feud with Kane.
Ethan, we know that Kane can make just about any storyline work.
And oh, he definitely can.
And he's doing a hell of a job with this one, too.
I'm telling you, I love Kane in a suit. It just works for me, and I don't know why.
It's modernized. The true corporate monster. He's not wearing an outlandish outfit. He's not wearing the goofy mask. He's that one upper management guy that you tiptoe past his office.
Because if you so much as look at him funny, he'll have you in the mailroom before your head, before you know what's what.
Yeah. And I think the chat room has summed it up very well. All of this is Vince's parody of corporate America. The problem is he's hitting way damn close to home.
Mm-hmm.
It just, wow. Just gives me shivers. And it just all the theatrics of Kane's hellhound persona in a suit. It's beautiful. It's scary. It's, thank you, WWE. There's one other thing I'm going to have to thank WWE for, and it's not the network this time.
Which, by the way, I believe I called.
Yes, you did, Ethan, and as your birthday present, I will be happy to play something for you.
I don't mean to toot my own horn, but I called it! Yeah! Woo!
You're welcome.
Thank you.
No, what I would like to, I would like to brag about, as we joked earlier in the show, that time and money will heal all wounds. If I told you, even 3 years ago, that WWE was going to produce a DVD based on the storied and sometimes shady history of my dear Uncle Paul, would you have believed me?
I probably would have believed you under the premise of 2005 Warrior.
That's true.
It would be a DVD about Paul Heyman, but the entire office would be completely shitting on him.
Yeah, a destrocity, a deconstruction of my poor dear Uncle Paul. But Brian, this is already sounding good because Joey Styles and Bill Apter have been interviewed for this DVD.
Yeah, Bill Apter was interviewed today. I saw it on Twitter, talking about his days working as a photographer out in Memphis. It was his early days in the wrestling business. Jim Ross is going to do some stories for the DVD. The ones that can print, I guess,
I definitely
because as you so eloquently put it, Nikki, they should have had him go, the statute of limitations hasn't ran out on some of them yet.
And they've already put out one little teaser. Oh, you really want to hear the whole story? To which he should have said, am I even allowed to talk about some of this?
I definitely hope they use some of his early stuff as a manager, because there was some stuff where he looked like he could have been no younger than 25 or no older than 25, but he sounds like he's been in the business 10, 15 years.
He had some great teachers.
Yeah.
So, oh.
Talking about his early days in Memphis, can I share you a quick story that he told once?
Sure.
It's on YouTube. He did one of the remember back when ECW used to do those events called the Cyber Slam?
Mm-hmm.
And they would have, like, the fans, like, have, like, a round table with the fans.
Okay.
And they would do, like, a shoot panel back before everyone did shoot panels.
Okay.
Well, he was talking about his first managing job in Memphis, Tennessee. And how he almost got fired the very first day he was there. He said he was there and Jerry Jarrett was there, and he goes out on live TV on WMC to cut a promo. And he does this promo, and it's, you know, a pretty good promo. And he says, you know, and we're here in Memphis, Tennessee, which, you know, I don't know if you guys heard the story today, but I was reading in the paper. Apparently, Memphis, Tennessee has, according to the Population Bureau, has the second largest population of lesbians in the entire country.
My God.
Said he said that Dave Brown's face goes white and out runs Jerry Jarrett when the show's over, cussing like a sailor. Everyone thought it was a great promo. It got a lot of heat. And
yeah, but go
and
on.
Jerry Jarrett was going to fire him. And he's going to fire him. And so he said, you know, what's up? At the end of the Coliseum, then I'll fire your star ass. And all this. And so anyway, they go out in front of, and so he's talking to Jerry Lawler. He says, wow, that was a great promo. He said, yeah, I got fired. He goes, oh, come on, everyone gets fired around here. It's okay. So he goes out to the Mid-South Coliseum, and they work an angle, and he gets really over getting beat up, and he goes to the back, and Jerry goes, you son of a bitch, now I can't fire you, you're over. But I can't wait for this. I mean, I love the Bobby Heenan DVD.
Mm-hmm.
This will be even more crazy.
Because the whole mystique of Uncle Paul is insane in its own right.
The creative rabbi, as he calls himself.
He's dubbed himself the creative rabbi, as some people had called him the mad scientist of extreme.
The evil genius.
Yeah. So, and do I even have that soundbite? I might. I have to play this. If I have it handy, I will play this.
Paul Heyman is an evil genius. He's Brainiac, he's the leader, he's Dr. Victor Von Doom all rolled into one.
He certainly is.
No higher praise needed. The DVD is expected out, I believe, late summer.
Yeah, August.
And I am going to keep an ear out that a certain other commentator that worked for my dear Uncle Paul needs to be sat down and talked to as well.
Mike Adamly?
Stop that.
If it is who I think it is, let's hope he keeps it PG for at least a little while.
It's just something to keep an eye out for. And, you know, we're pulling for you, brother. I hope I would hope to see you on there. I do have one personal note that I need to put out there. Something that had popped up on my Facebook, so you guys might not know much about what's going on. This week, we had a Samoan in the hospital. And I'm doing this just out of the goodness of my heart, because I want everybody to pray for him.
Okay.
Former superhero in training, surviving 3-minute warning member, Matthew Roosevelt, and I, was in the hospital this past week, has a condition of atrial fibrillation, which could have led to congestive heart failure.
Oof. Oh, I know about AFib all too well.
Okay. So he posted yesterday on his Facebook, very big lifestyle changes for me are being implemented into my life to better control and cope with this condition. So through all the negative issues I've been dealing with, I don't think I've ever been so positive and motivated and set to complete a goal that I've struggled with for most of my life. For once, I feel excited to work as hard as it takes to accomplish my goals. So by this time next year, I will celebrate my first anniversary of my real life to enjoy a better life without the vice of being such a big man. So cheers to you, Rosie. I miss you, man. And we're all pulling for you.
Yep.
Amen. He is out of the hospital, by the way. And just to show that he's still a doofus, let me see if I can find this other thing. If you've ever admitted to the hospital, I suggest you get a sponge bath at least once. Doofus. So yeah, thumbs up. Keep him in your prayers, guys. He's a great guy in person. I'm proud to say that I've been on a card with him. You guys all know that I was a big fan of the Heroes when it was him and Hurricane back in 05. So, and just as a gift, somebody posted a picture of one of the Usos from SmackDown flying off the top rope and making a silly face to the camera. I'll put that in the chat for you guys. Yes, this happened on SmackDown.
Oh, the wonderful world of duplicity.
And this stuff plus what's going on with my Uncle Paul, plus what's going on with WWE in general, and hopefully with the consortium, this is why I love the wrestling business.
Yes.
So, to that, I think I shall call this a show. Hey, birthday boy! Or at least as of this recording, it was a birthday. Do you have anything to promote besides the fact that you're old?
I'm older than I've ever been. I'm even older.
Something like that.
And I'm aching all over? I don't know. Well, I'm presuming we're in the plug segment now?
Yes, please. Do you have something to promote?
Oh, yes, I certainly do. Folks, ladies, gentlemen, and others who are game show fans throughout the United States of America and beyond, if you are going or will be visiting the Los Angeles area on President's Day weekend, come to the LAX Hilton for Orcon 2014. We are bringing back more game show play along with a few British surprises, along with our dastardly monstrosity, the Game Show Machine. Over 40 game shows condensed into 1 2-hour block. It'll be deliciously evil. If you want to check us out, go to strategicon.net or to our own website, homegameenterprises.com.
Okay. Brian, I know you have a few things to promote.
Yes, Pixel Nation will be making its triumphant return this weekend. We've taken some time off for the holiday season. We've taken some time off because of some personal issues. But it's coming back. Me, Jason, and whoever else we can wrangle in are going to talk video games for a little while and have a good time. And I'd like to give a quick promotion to my mother, Sharon Henniger, who is recovering extremely well from her issues. She is a survivor. She is kicking ass and taking names every day, and I love her more every day.
Ooh. Amen.
Thank you.
Fourth, did you find Typho yet?
I was able to get him up for a minute, but I wasn't able to talk to him about moving the show. So I'm going to keep trying.
Okay. No promotion for you, Typho. Keep going, Fourth.
I also have BRM show, which we didn't get to tape tonight. I think he's had some issues with taping them. Okay. But, and also, I don't know if you talked about it last week, I didn't get to listen, but AJ Styles has a shoot interview that's going to be for sale soon on High Spots, which seems to definitely be worth a watch.
I believe it's called Making an Impact or Leaving an Impact.
Yeah,
an
Impact.
So, I personally do not have anything to promote this week because I am here.
Oh, I actually do have something I also wanted to promote, if I may. I forgot to do it.
Oh, go ahead.
There's a wrestling video series that I've introduced a few of you to over the weekend. It is a really, really great show, and if you've not checked it out, you need to. It's called Wrestling with Regret. Hosted by a California area manager, wrestling fan named Brian Zane. And it's every Thursday at around, they're posted at around 11 o'clock Eastern. And basically he does a nostalgia critic style review of some bad angle or character or whatever in the wrestling world. The most recent one showed him playing some NES wrestling games with his good friends. He had some really good episodes. He did one where he reviewed Pile Driver, the wrestling album 2. He had one recently talking about the controversy about Chris Benoit and is what he did Unforgivable, which we'll not talk about that here. But it's Wrestling with Regret with a W. So W-R-E-G-R-E-T. Go to YouTube. Check them out. They are phenomenally good shows. The guy's very knowledgeable, and it's a very... I think a very funny program, so check those out.
All right. So, I think that's going to do it for us. Yeah. I think I've talked enough wrestling for one night. For Ethan Muslin, for Forth, for Brian Henniger, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Please enjoy our show, enjoy it every week, and don't give that man a damn dime.